Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Happy Columbus Day. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. The day is not named for me, unfortunately. Kevin Williamson of National Review Online in for Jim Garrity today. And, Kevin, the big story right in your neighborhood there in New York City and some other cities around the country as well, Occupy, fill in the blank, Wall Street, Washington, I think Atlanta, Dallas, maybe even Chicago in there. So there was a big topic, as you might expect, on the Sunday morning chat shows, including some of the presidential contenders. Herman Cain was on Face the Nation, and I think he kind of summed up a lot of the different components of what's wrong with these protests in a couple of different quotes. He said they were coordinated, unions are running them. But here's what he said is the fundamental problem with the protests and the president's approach to the economy, which is fueling all this.
Go and picket the White House. Demonstrate in front of the White House. The thing that this administration does not get is that the business sector is the engine of economic growth. That's key. They don't get that. So this president and administration wants to continue to try and spend our way to prosperity.
And Herman Cain, who certainly did not grow up with any privilege, had this to say about the right way to go about becoming rich.
My parents, they never played the victim card. My parents never said that we hope that the rich people lose something so we can get something. No, my dad's idea was, I want to work hard enough so I can buy a Cadillac, not take somebody else's. And this is why I don't have a lot of patience for people who want to protest the success of somebody else.
Pretty well said, I would say, Kevin. And it's interesting that I think the critics of the protests have a better idea of what they're about than the people protesting themselves.
Yeah, you know, Herman Cain is great on this kind of stuff. If he weren't grossly unqualified, he'd make an awesome president. I love the way he talks about these things. I love where his heart is and his kind of basic ethic on this stuff. Yeah, the thing about, you know, I've been spent some time down at Occupy Wall Street, and I've followed some of the other protests, some of which I don't get. I mean, why is there an Occupy Austin? You hippies have been in charge there for, you know, 50 years. Occupy Portland, Occupy Berkeley, come on. It's been occupied since LBJ was in the White House. But, yeah, they really don't, they don't understand the nature of their complaint. That's their main problem. You know, there is a problem that they're pointing to, but they don't quite get it. They're right when they say that for the vast majority of the American middle class, incomes have stagnated in real terms for the last 20 years, possibly longer. But where they're making the mistake is they don't understand what the cause of that is, and they think that poor people are poor because rich people are rich. And they think that the middle class isn't richer because rich people are rich. They have this really dumb, flat earth, zero sum attitude toward wealth and income. And they just basically don't understand it. You know, if any of them really sat down and took Econ 101 and paid attention and knew it well enough to get a passing grade, they would be doing something other than what they're doing. They're also right that there is a poisonous, nasty, corrupt nexus between finance and government. I mean, there's a reason Goldman Sachs gave 70% of its political donations last cycle to the Obama campaign. They expected to get something out of that. But if you want to have a free society and a prosperous society and a decent society, what you want to do is limit what government can do, not limit what private parties can do. Because, you know, you can't really have a free economy when you're saying, well, we're going to come down on you and put government in charge of this and put government in charge of that. Because government really is the source of the corruption there. You know, no company can make you buy anything. Chase can't take your money unless you decide to go into business with them. Microsoft can't take your money unless you decide to go into business with them. But government can take your money. And, you know, government has the use of force there, and they're the ones who really need to be limited. So, yeah, God bless Herman Cain. I wish these kids were out picketing in front of the White House. It's where they belong.
There was a rally near the White House, but I don't think they have the temerity to actually blame Obama because they're still drinking some of the Kool-Aid, although not nearly as much of it as they were 3 years ago.
You know, I was down there near Wall Street here, and I talked to a whole bunch of these protesters, and I don't just mean to play the nasty right-winger here, but, you know, they were morons. They were just not the smartest people I've dealt with in the course of my life. You know, I've been to a million protests, anti-war stuff, Tea Party stuff, and these are by far the dumbest protesters I've come across in the last, you know, 10 years or so.
Yeah, they're camping out in park. The sanitation's horrible. There are stories that a lot of people are now just coming down there looking for drugs and sex. And so
well, that's what I was there for.
On to President Obama now, and he, of course, delivers his weekly message. I don't know what they call it anymore, if it's even on the radio anymore, but it's his message that's also on YouTube. And the president, of course, has been talking ever since he unveiled this jobs bill that we had to pass right away. Well, the Senate's finally going to get around to it, controlled by the Democrats, by the way, which he seems to have conveniently forgot about, both in his press conference and in his weekly address. But anyway, the president is highly touting, Kevin, these independent economists, which just love his jobs bill plan. And so here's his gauntlet that he throws down to congressional Republicans.
So any senator out there who's thinking about voting against this jobs bill needs to explain why they would oppose something that we know would improve our economic situation. If the Republicans in Congress think they have a better plan for creating jobs right now, they should prove it.
They need to prove it, Kevin, because, of course, all the experts that touted his initial stimulus plan and the health care plan and all these other things were right on the money, because unemployment is still below 8%, never went above that. He doesn't actually say who these independent economists are. My guess is Krugman and Company is probably the firm, but this is so lame on his part that he's just got these nebulous people out there supposedly evaluating everything. And shock of all shocks, the people who love his bill actually don't like the Republican plan. I never saw that one coming.
Yeah, that's a real shocker. You know, even Krugman doesn't like this that much. You know, he thinks it's too small and too pusillanimous. You know, the independent economist who's mostly been cheerleading for it is Robert Reich, who's not an economist. He's a lawyer. He plays an economist on TV. When I see Obama do this sort of thing, when he gives these kind of speeches, and when he gave the original speech unveiling the jobs bill, the thing I always just wonder myself is, who the hell does he think he is? You know, he's a president of the United States. Yeah, but, you know, this is not an empire. This is not a monarchy. This is not, you know, Spain under Franco. You don't get to come out and say, all right, Congress, here's my thing. Pass it now. Go do it. And if you don't do it, you have to answer to me and explain why. You know, that's just kind of silly. There's a story about the first time George Washington proposed a piece of legislation. He took it down to Congress and he went and talked to the sergeant at arms and said, here's the bill I'd like. And the sergeant at arms said, okay, I'll take it in, but you have to wait. You have to wait outside. And they kept him waiting for a couple of hours, and then they eventually sent someone out and said, it's going to be a while before we get to it. We'll let you know. You know, and that's why we have three co-equal branches of government. That's why we are, you know, a republic in which the people are supposed to be sovereign and not the executive branch. And he doesn't seem to have stylistically quite got that yet. You know, the guy who's allegedly the great constitutional scholar doesn't really seem to quite get how we do things.
Yeah, he noticed that in the press conference, too, when he talked about how it was all the Republicans who were blocking it. It wasn't the 16 Democrats who want nothing to do with this, especially the handful in swing states who are up for re-election next year. No. They deserve none of the blame. Or Harry Reid for pushing it back as long as humanly possible because he couldn't fund it.
Yeah, or Barack Obama himself. You know, I mean, he isn't exactly batting a thousand on these kinds of things. You know, he's asking for another, you know, better part of $1 trillion. To do what? Well, you know, people are looking at things like, well, what are your big accomplishments so far? Well, we invested some money in a crappy solar panel firm that fell apart and went bankrupt, and 1,100 people lost their jobs. In your spare time, you're arming Mexican drug cartels with American guns, and, you know, you're not looking like the most competent administration in history, so what's the theory here that you're just going to let you set the better part of $1 trillion on fire and that's suddenly going to fix the economy? I think people are going to say, well, you know, what are you going to do with the money? Can you tell us in a little more specific sense, you know, because these last few didn't look so good.
Yeah, I think the people have caught on to that. And if you look at his new reelect numbers, he's down 51-41. It's even worse for him under independents. So, yeah, he's got a long way to go. And his class warfare strategy is not helping him at all. His numbers have not improved. In fact, they've gone down. On to Martini number three now, Kevin. And it's always crazy. But, you know, we haven't spent a lot of time discussing Jerry Brown since he came back to the California governorship in his geriatric years here. And you talk about a little bit of schizophrenia. I'm not suggesting that he actually has it clinically, but in the matter of just a little bit of time, Governor Jerry Brown has signed legislation that bans minors from getting a tan at the salon. And at the same time, he's allowing kids as young as 12 years old to make decisions on their sexually transmitted disease prevention efforts, including the HPV vaccine, which, of course, has gotten so much attention from Rick Perry and his record in Texas, seems to be a little bit inconsistent out there. Big surprise.
Well, you know, we're insane as a country about these sorts of things. I mean, if you're a minor, you can't get your ears pierced without a notarized document from the Supreme Court. But you can get an abortion, right, you know, without telling anybody right about it, and probably at public expense most places. we have this weird attitude where we elevate, you know, these questions of sexual convenience, whether it's, you know, abortion, whether it's, you know, getting kids 12 years old vaccinated against sexually transmitted diseases. We elevate that over everything else. You know, there's all sorts of things you can't do when you're 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, and all sorts of things you shouldn't be doing as well when you're that age. But we set sex apart as this kind of, you know, special category. And I think that's because, of course, all we adults, you know, we like it. We tend to make it, you know, like the sort of centerpiece of our values, as though it's some separate category of life that you can't do or say anything about. And it's not subject to the regular rules. And so you end up with insane things like this, where, yeah, you can't go to a tanning bed, but here's your HPV vaccine. You know, I'm not really against vaccines and things like that, although I think parents probably ought to have a good say in what sort of medical treatments their children undergo. But yeah, this one just kind of looks nuts. It kind of looks nuts, and it's a weird juxtaposition of restrictions.
Governor Moonbeam makes a dramatic return.
You know, he's been in California politics so long that when I was in junior high, the Dead Kennedys were writing songs about him, you know, California Uber Alles and things like that. And that was one of those songs where they had to change the lyrics for a while because Schwarzenegger was governor. And now they're going back to doing the original version. And that's just crazy. This guy's been around forever. He may be my favorite wacko Democrat. He really may be. Wow. You know, he's got some libertarian ideas. He used to be a flat taxer, and he had some other good ideas from time to time. He was not, you know, the most boneheaded lefty of his generation by a long shot. I mean, there's a lot of competition for that spot. Man, he's fun. I'm glad to have him around. And you know what? He's not going to be much worse than Schwarzenegger was. He was a disaster. I mean, you can't do anything good in California.
Well, yeah, Schwarzenegger was a huge disappointment, to the surprise of some, but not all conservatives, I can tell you that. Yeah, there you go. Jerry Brown, California's economy, you know, completely in the tank. They've been flirting with default out there from time to time, and stopping 16-year-olds from getting a fake-and-baked tan is apparently at the top of the agenda. Well done, California.
Yeah, gosh.
Well done.
You know, I'll bet you a dollar on that default thing, by the way. I'll bet you a week's pay that happens.
Wow. Yeah, so clearly the priorities are in order there. Kevin, happy Columbus Day. Thanks for pinch hitting for Jim, and we'll talk to you later.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Kevin Williamson of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus for Radio America. Please join us Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.